Sister Becky is from Philippines. Many of us know her, but also many do not know her. She has been in Gyan very long, 30 years. She's one of the pioneers there. And out of that 30 years, she's been in the center for 27 years. She's the national coordinator for Philippines. And I know that she's quite creative and she's very good in organizing, designing programs. I've been working with her for the double foreign season. And I know that she's very creative and she's a great team player. And today is a very good topic she's going to share with us, and also a workshop on that emotional maturity. So enjoy the class.
Thank you, Celia. Shanti. I was hoping the class will be very small. And my wish is granted, because it's a very intimate topic. You know, not everyone, and only those who are here are interested. And I always think those who are here are meant to be here. Okay, so 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 20, huh? okay. One of the things that I got very interested in is this aspect of different intelligence. Have you gotten into it? Because I'm very interested in psychology and first for myself, and I did a background that I came to Gyan because I wanted to become a better person, and I did all the research in psychology on myself, okay, and made it a profession also. So I was doing some aspect of psychology in organization. And one of the things that I'm gotten interested is this different kinds of intelligence. No, they call it the IQ, okay? Then there's a PQ, physical intelligence, or physical quotient, intellectual quotient, emotional quotient, and now the latest is actually spiritual quotient. And I went into the internet, and they said that if you are, and that's what very revealing, is if you are very high in your spiritual quotient, everything follows. You don't have to go down, okay? Which means Raj Yoga is the highest spiritual quotient. But I think it's very important to understand that what is then spirituality? And I think it's very good to explain to people what is spirituality is and how it affects our emotion and what is the difference between spirituality and emotional quotient. Spiritual quotient and emotional quotient. Okay. And then we'll have a little workshop, right? So, emotional quotient, well, intelligence or IQ help human beings to deal with the world outside. How to manage business, how to manage an organization, how to deal with people, how to deal with the resources outside, whether they are people-related or matter-related. And people get rich because of that. Okay. But you cannot use your IQ to handle your emotion. Is that right? Right? Okay, so we have to understand that. What is emotional quotient? Okay. Emotional quotient, according to the definition in the locate, it is the ability to be effective in relating to people. Okay? But the problem is, every time we relate to people, it has to start where we are. Okay? Which they don't, in that particular aspect of psychological study, they focus very little on the self. But they talk about it's natural for people to actually get along with each other. And spiritual IQ or spiritual intelligence is the ability to know and reclaim my authentic self. Okay? Of course, low-kick psychology would not say, what is authentic self? Authentic self. And Baba introduces us to our spiritual, powerful, positive self. Okay. Is that right? Okay. you never knew all of these things before. You never knew EQ, IQ, or PQ. But what I'm going to ask you to do is actually to look at how our education, our spiritual education, is helping us. Okay, helping us to actually deal even, you know, what is emotional, or in the, what, well, how do we deal with people? How do we deal with things around us, right? What is it about spiritual intelligence that helps us in those three aspects of psychology? Because in Lokik, they try to separate it, but it's actually when you are spiritual, and I'd like you to share with your seatmate, how did you become more and more confident to deal with relationship with the world, with people you're working, and how did it actually made you aware that your body is also had to be paid attention to? Okay? Can you just talk about it? So if we claim that the highest study, the highest intelligence is SQ, or spiritual quotient, it must help us deal with our relationship. It also must help us deal with the world, no? with matter, and it has to help us deal with our own body. And therefore, we can prove that SQ is the most important study, and we are there in that. And what are the signs that we are effectively, because our topic today is, what are the signs that I am becoming emotionally mature? Okay, so I'll ask you to give me some answers. You can talk to a person you are sitting with, maybe your friend, and look at how have I become now from the time I came to Baba. How have I become effective in relating to people, in taking care of my body, and in actually dealing with something about the world? Okay, would you like to say that? Few more, just with you, with somebody, sitting next to somebody. Maybe three or two people, yeah? Because we're so few. Yeah. So, actually it's nice if you want to sit on the floor, because we're so few. Okay. And sit around each other. Okay. Okay? Okay, do that. And then I will ask you to give me some of the signs that you see how a spiritual study helps us become mature. Thank you. Okay. 2 minutes. Somebody should speak out your sharing and, okay. I'd like to hear what you have said. Yeah. Emotional maturity is the ability to share from your heart whatever came out. The courage to share, okay? Yeah, we'll wait for them. Then everyone gets a chance. Okay. So can we get someone? Everyone from each group should say something. Because I will build on your answer and then we will have discussion. You can have a conversation about your sharing, okay? Now come. Come, sister. Introduce yourself and then tell us what you have shared. Turn it on. There.
Om Shanti. The body's name is Preeti. I'm originally from India. But now I am in Seva since last year in London. I'm in Gyan since 14 years now. And my partner's name is Jean, and she's from Korea. And she's just come here and taken the 7 days course. She just completed the 7 days course. And she's here.
Okay.
And one of her close friends also is just doing the 7 days course. He's not completed it, but he's doing it right now out here in Madhuban. That's great. So, what we were discussing, for me, what the knowledge has done is many times earlier, it was difficult for me to say no to people, particularly if they've done things for me or if they're close to me. Or even like that so many times, even if I have a commitment earlier with somebody else and somebody else came and asked me something, it was difficult for me to say no. And so I would be in the bad books of both the parties because I couldn't complete this or that, or I couldn't be at two places at the same time. But after knowledge and after being with Baba and soul consciousness practice, I found that I can say no very politely, very lovingly, very respectfully, and trying to make them understand my reasons. And after I've said no, I don't get any thoughts about it. That's the best part. So that is just one of the things that I could remember. And also that I became a lot more detached, not only from things, but also from people and their opinions, you know, did not influence my opinions because my opinions were slowly becoming what were Baba's opinions. And so that was what influencing me. And that has helped me to be so much more at peace because, you know, that's the only right opinion to follow. And so that is one more thing, so detachment in all these ways. And yet I could be so much more loving every day. Of course, it's a practice and it's still going on. It's not that 100% I'm doing it, but it is. I'm definitely much more better than what I was before in all these aspects. And for Jean, she had attachment and one particular relationship. But since she's done the course, she has, like me, learned to accept people for as they are and let go of that attachment. And so be more at peace now than before. And also for both of us, learn to accept me as me and be happy with me and be at peace with me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's
what
it is.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, okay. Next? Anyone? Come on. Come.
I'm not the same teacher. I have to listen to answers. Then I can group your answers.
Yes, yes.
I'm Dion.
I just check your microphone. Yeah, it's not meaning it's not, yeah.
Oh, okay. I guess you heard the first part. So, and my partner here is Sister Swan from Malaysia. Well, the three. I think she had one common with me. I had. We talked about three things. For me, it was one was about attachment, attachment to things or people, and those lead to expectations. Then the expectations lead to disappointment, sorrow, upset, anger, whatever. So that was a big lesson I've learned, and I've been only in the GAN for a little less than a year, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So very new. So it's been quite a journey, and that was actually my first biggest lesson I learned all of last year, was about the attachment. And I'm so aware right now with the attachment part of it, whereas before it wasn't. There was no awareness of it at all. The second thing for me was ego, and ego in a very subtle way. I mean, for me it was even ego when someone praised me, you know, or said something nice. A little bit of that ego was there, and I think that too I had to work on. So so the ego was a big part of my learning process, and it still is. And the third was, which I'm working on, and it's a very big part of me right now, which is a big, is one of my journeys, is the need for approval and acceptance. And Sister Denise, in her sharing yesterday, yesterday evening, talked about that. And that's exactly where I'm at the moment. So it's learning to accept myself without needing another person's approval or their opinion, as you shared earlier. So it's currently my learning experience. So I'm grateful for the awareness, and there's a lot to learn, but these are my three big ones, and I think the common one to both of us was attachment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Expectations and learning, yeah. That's it.
Thank you. Okay. Next. Next. Okay. So maybe there's a common thing, huh? Okay, so that's the big thing about emotional maturity.
I'm Shanti, I'm Jessica from Australia, and I was talking with two sisters from Japan, Mizue, is that right? And Mikio. And we were sharing with the EQ, some of the things we were sharing was not to get caught up in looking at the role of others, because then you start having the expectations that you think should go with a certain role. So instead to focus on someone's specialties and their virtues, and that way you can have a better relationship with them, and to really practice humility. And the self-respect Baba gives us helps with that. It helps push our ego down and allow us to be humble so that we can get on better with others. And did you want us to share on the other two cues? The PQ. We shared on the PQ. I hope we understood it. We thought it was to do with the body. Is that right? Yeah, and our maturity with the body. So we were saying how Baba's knowledge helps us to pull back from taking in with our senses, getting caught up in looking at things, and we had a discussion about the taste buds and... you probably all know that story of Mama, where you just accept. Mama always just accepted whatever food was given to her, didn't change it with salt or whatever, didn't ask for seconds. And that's what we've been practicing too, just to have that detachment from what you're eating. But also sharing how there's a balance. So like with our clothes and our hair, it's good to be clean and tidy and neat, but not to be so tidy and neat that it causes stress. So there's a balance with it all, and we didn't get up to further discussion.
Thank you.
IQ.
Anyone? I think 1, 2, 3. Okay, four groups already. Okay. Yes. Celia Rosemary, right? Okay.
Yeah, I'm Shanti. We have Talia joining us in the middle. She's from Israel. And then, I forgot her name. Aika from Russia. Mm-hmm. She can understand better than speaking, so we were trying to speak slower so that she can catch up with us. So one interesting point that Talia mentioned, which really hit me in the nail, so to speak, is that when we see somebody behaving like in an authoritative manner or something that we don't like and it like causes some reaction inside, she would rather previously blaming or complaining, she would take it as a mirror to indicate to me what is inside of me. So I thought that was a very good point. I have remembered it, and it's like reminding me about this as well. Somebody is in authority or not behaving well, it's actually I'm having that weakness or defect inside me. And not all the time that people are behaving like that, but what about people who are behaving, maybe acting a bit slow and in doing things, and I'm like fast and want things to be done in a fast way, and this also reminds me, is not to be upset or impatient with the person, because I can be fast, and but that is the nature of the person, and perhaps she's doing the best, or he is doing the best he or she can. And so I have to use my powers at that moment to learn to be tolerant, accepting, acceptance, and accommodate. So I thought that was a very good point that really hit me and teach me a lesson as well, listening to her. And Ika was sharing something, both of us, I think, were like on the same plane, that before Gyan, again, when somebody behaving not well on something that I don't like, I will even react, or if the person scold or get upset or angry, I may even react and use the same words or same tone of language and tit for tat. But after coming to Gyan, she said she's very stable and doesn't do that anymore. And also I also tend to feel that same way, because with knowledge we know that the person is a soul and a point of light, and that soul, even though under the influence of vices, may react or may act or behave in a very bad manner, but still that soul originally is peaceful. So that knowledge really stopped us and put us to understand. And even though we may not in the beginning totally be in that peaceful state, I must admit, even we are at different stages, different degrees now, we may not react verbally, we may not act in a very rough manner like that person, but internally, we may still have some taunts inside and feel upset or, but not speaking out. But inside could be like a turmoil boiling inside. So to deal with that, we have to, we both of us, we were sharing that we have to use knowledge, Gyan, and the power of yoga to really subdue or sublime our weaknesses, and not only verbally we don't react, but internally, be it in that stable, mature, emotional, stable state, so that we are at peace internally with ourselves and with others. So I thought that with that, we have to also understand that whatever it is that is happening, it's good for us. We have to learn a lesson, and like Italia said, we have to learn a lesson from whatever that's happening. So thank you.
Thank you. Okay. I think the class is going to be finished. You're all giving the answers. Okay. Now I'll just summarize it and maybe give you a little framework, actually. I believe you
In my group, we share about we loving and detached. And the sister said an amazing story. I want to interview her to come in to tell herself. Tutun.
Come. Okay. It's nice to have a small class, right? Okay. All of us are teachers. Come.
Om Shanti. My name is Tutul. I'm from Toronto, Canada also, like you. Etobicoke Center. I don't know from which center you are. Okay. I'm from Etobicoke Center. Like after GAN, I have a lot change. I found out that I have a lot change. I just want to say a little bit story about after GAN, like September, I had my daughter, two daughter was going, the big one was driving, and there is a big accident in front of my house, and the car was totally destroyed, and we have to, according to Canadian law, we have to send the car to junkyard, but my both daughter was totally safe, and it happened in front of my like I was standing and in front of my house, and I felt I didn't have any kind of reaction, and I don't know from where I got the power, and I was just looking, and I and my walk was like very very slow. Not I was not rushing towards them or like that. And no, I didn't cry, and then I was shocked what happened. I don't know, maybe I got the 8 power after the knowledge. And before I come here, I went to my Lokik sister's house, and they didn't accept the way I was living now, like I was preparing my food alone, like myself, and wearing white dress and all those things. And sometimes they was arguing and telling me the white dress is not the main thing, you have to clean inside, all those things. But I didn't react. I just said that I know what kind of change I have. I shouldn't tell them I am totally changed, or I know. With my talking, with my thinking, with my walking, I know that kind of change I have. So after a few days, they also find out there is something they should follow also. And they are planning to join.
Very good. Very good. Okay. Okay. I think the last two. Yes? Come? Anyone? From you, share something, one sentence, two, three, okay.
One sentence, because there's no voice.
Okay.
I think the similarity of my name is Anna Kay, and I shared with Karine, we are both from Holland. I think a similarity was that knowing who we are, it's making us free of influences of others.
Thank you. Okay. Okay. Let's start from some definition. I'm thinking all of us, from the time we began knowledge, we're actually very aware that this is really learning who we are, right? And emotion, and our aim, is to be beyond the influence from the outside. So emotion is actually an energy which moves. And we as souls are always subjected. Anything that we perceive through our senses will always have an impact on us. And therefore emotion is a response to all of the things that comes to us. Emotional maturity then is how do you handle the impact that comes to you. An accident, for example, the insult or the nagging of your family when they see you change, okay? Things that happens to you because, against the very practice of society, you're against it, in a sense, and they cannot stand it. Immature people cannot stand things, in a way, especially with the loved ones, they cannot stand it, they're changing, right? So emotion is how effective are we responding to everything that comes to us? And what Baba is talking about is actually helping us to be free. We're influenced, but to be free from taking sorrow. That is what emotional maturity is. Okay? The ability, the skill, the art, not to take sorrow from anything. Okay. And I think in a sense you're summarizing a lot of the thing, but let me organize it in such a way that maybe what should I define, and maybe you can identify, is what are the signs of emotional immaturity? And one of them is taking sorrow. Okay, and why do we take sorrow? Because there are a lot of expectations which are unfulfilled. And you all said that. You began to understand that expectation is a big deal. And when we create expectation from myself, from other people around me, that is emotionally immature. Because I cannot change them. I cannot change their roles. Right? I cannot correct them even. I cannot even give them an advice. The only thing I have to do is be there and be present. No? I think what emotional maturity, one aspect is the ability to understand the role of another person, the sanskara that is being displayed in front of you, not to take sorrow from that, and at the same time, not to intervene and advise. Okay. I can be there. And there's something. You have to give love. You have to give love in a way that the person does not get attached to us, right? They said tough love. Have you heard of this? Tough love. It's defined that you are firm but not mean. Okay. You're firm but not mean. Okay. So, the one aspect of immaturity is actually taking sorrow. The other one is actually when people feel inadequate. And I think we have gone out of that, right? That I feel I know myself, I know my limitation, right? I know what are the things I can do and the things I cannot do. Yeah? But I don't feel insecure about it. No insecurity about it. Because my intention is if, just like Baba was saying, if I know myself and I know what I cannot do, but I'm willing to learn how to do it, that is emotional maturity. I must know first, no, my weakness, the reason why we say if we change our weaknesses, the aspect is also I would like, you know, the self-knowledge is I'd like to learn. It's an attitude of constant learning. It's a person who's mature. Yeah. I'm learning from my own self. I'm looking at what are the things that are good about me, what are the things that are, you know, weaknesses, and what are the things I'm willing to address, and what are the things I'm willing to learn. And there is a lot of humility in that, because, you know, there are 7 qualities that goes with maturity. One is self-sufficiency. Okay, we'll discuss it one by one. The second one is actually non-interference. I'm dealing with people, but I don't interfere in the drama of that person. Okay, and that needs a lot of attachment, detachment, right? Non-interference. The third one is dignity. And I think a lot of you talked about it. We'll try to classify some of your behavior. Stability. Determination, 5. 6, humility. A lot of you are saying, I learned to become humble. Yeah? Is that all our experience? You learn to become humble? Huh? And I think we have to define what humility is all about. And then, we trust that what we are learning can be depended on because it is actually the voice of God, which is really working on a clear and clean conscience. That is the voice of God in us, right? People have conscience based on the religion, but our conscience is being cleared, you know, being cleaned by the knowledge that Baba is giving us. So emotional maturity is in a sense measured when I can actually accept who I am and my limitation, and at the same time, willingness to go beyond and work on those limitation and weakness. And I'm not going to blame anyone for it. Okay. And sometimes we catch ourselves, and this is my personal experience. Sometimes one of our best quality, like generosity, it's in my own experience, becomes a hindrance to mature, because people who are immature will actually take on your generosity. You understand what I'm trying to say? So even to understand what is the weakness, because generosity has to come, maturity means I cannot be too generous or people take advantage of you, right? Become dependent. And one of the weakness of immature people is they become dependent. They become dependent on the one who can supply them with certain things. Okay? And I got caught in that. And I have been 30 years in Guyana. Okay? Because I'm naturally a very generous person. And you're willing to help, you know? And for us who are in the center, you're willing to help constantly people, right? And then all of a sudden, they become so attached to you. Then you wonder what had happened. Okay? So even our own generosity, our own strength had to be examined. How am I? And therefore, I have to know the quality of what an immature person is. And the reason why we keep on saying, it's good to know what it is and what it's not. Okay? And therefore, an immature person lacks, always feeling inadequate. I'm not good enough. Then they're quite good. And you keep on telling them they're good. But the problem is if you keep on affirming it, they become dependent on your praise. That's the problem. Right? So I have to know. I have to have the little bit of ability to diagnose whether I'm giving too much. The feeling of inadequacy. The other thing is also, again, you're going to meet this with BKs, you're going to meet this with, new students. People who are looking people come with this aspect about comparison, okay? They compare these things. They always say, well, I have this, I don't have this, they have it. Or I have this, they don't have it. So the ability, you can see that in immature people. The comparison, the criticism, the jealousy. And sometimes, what do? We use, and this is where our maturity as Brahmins is, do we comment on it? Do we try to change the person? And say, no, don't criticize. Right? Because maturity means also the ability to use, and I think Celia was saying, the ability to use the right point of knowledge. When to keep quiet and when to actually explain too much. And sometimes it is not in our explaining that we help people. Especially immature people. Because they're coming from a very deep sanskara of hurt. And Baba keeps on saying that towards the end of the kalpa, a lot of them are coming to us. And we thought we have all the answers and they're giving away all of this. And you're creating dependency. They're gonna eat you up in a way. They're gonna cling to you. Okay. So there's the principle of the non-interference. I must not interfere. Yes. In the karma of anyone. Do you know what the karma of anyone? The sanskara of someone. To how much do I encourage and how much do I say, the change is yours, take it. Because BKs are known to be very helpful, right? But we don't know we're encouraging dependency. No? And they're going to run after you because you're a nice, good BK. Okay? And I think that's the symptoms that we'll have to see. And then what happens is they don't get anything from you. They manipulate so they get it. Okay? And if you keep on using gyan, they would know how to use gyan on you and you'll feel guilty. If you feel guilty, you're not in your state of self-respect. Because big case, don't feel guilty. Is that right? We don't have guilt. No one is going to accuse, well, I felt bad when you did not notice me. I felt bad when you paid more attention to this. I felt bad that you did not tell me that I did a good thing. Sometimes you don't have to. Right? Because you have to help people stand and acknowledge that they're doing it for themselves, not for you. And if you keep on giving them a compliment, you're not encouraging them. So even for me who's actually maturing because of Baba's knowledge, I must also held back. To what extent do I actually give love silently and encouragement, but not by words? You know, because sometimes they take it, because they don't, you know, people who are immature are very, they're not subtle. You know, they want an overt expression that you, that they're doing fine, that your standard is being met, I like you, and you're a nice BK, so everything that, I wanted to be like you, so if I'm being like you and you're complimenting me, I must be doing fine. But the thin line is, you might be getting into trouble because it is not a pure empowering the self, but you are giving them something that makes them feel adequate. You, it's coming from you, not from their own effort. And the last thing about, and therefore they manipulate you and ask you, am I doing fine? You know, am I like you? Things like this. And sometimes they also go into the swing of the, what do you call it? Delusion, no? Disillusionment. So did you take note of those who are immature? Those are the tendencies. And what do we do with them? So how can we really help them in a way? And one of the aspects that I think is called non-interference. You don't interfere in that person's. But how do you do it in a spiritual way? Do not, it says here, do not emotionally be caught and interfere in people's disagreement and problem with each other. That means to be case getting, getting into discussion or getting a conflict or two people in your center. Okay? Don't be involved. Don't interfere. Don't take sides. And don't think you can solve the problem. Okay? Especially if you're not the one in charge. Because sometimes, I know how to do that. So in that sense, don't get in between two people getting into that particular situation. Also, the ability, non-interference, as I think all of us are being taught by Baba, the ability to see beyond the character defects or the sanskara of the person. And to dwell, and sometimes we do dwell it, to go beyond it and to see it something, but some people have a different impact on us. Remember, I think Sister, how many of you were here yesterday, last night? They said that there are certain people, certain souls who come in front of you, then they cause you all this trouble. Right? They cause you all this trouble. Remember what Sister Denise said last night? You know, that to look at all these souls, that every time they come to you, they seem to rub the wrong, you know, the wrong side of you, right? The wrong side of you. And to be able to understand what is it that this person is actually triggering in my sanskara is emotional maturity. Because that person is only there, as Baba would say, to actually reflect on what is your witness. Even on the mind level, and all of us do have, right? Well, on the superficial, on a level, we can just say, okay, I have good wishes for this person. And sometimes it comes out in our mouth, I have good wishes for you. But actually here, is the little gossip that judges. And therefore, again, emotional maturity is, how is the sanskara of this person, the behavior of this person, triggering certain inner weakness? And I told you, weakness is sometimes your positive self. Generosity, for example. That this person is validating that I am a generous person by saying, oh, Sister Becky, you helped me a lot. And then all of a sudden, I discovered she talks to me about everyone, that Sister Beck is helping me like this, and like this. And after a while, you can actually almost see that she's constantly following you, very dependent on you. You understand what I'm trying to say? So, in a sense, she was saying, I was helpful, and Baba keeps on saying, is it you being helpful, or you're helping through Baba's knowledge and through Baba's method? So because I know I'm generous, this person is validating my generosity. And people who are mature would say, well, it is a quality which has been given to me by God. Okay, but there's a limit into it. To what extent am I encouraging somebody's dependency on me? Okay. Another aspect is you do not react to what people say or their tone of voice. You do not absorb or get diminished by insinuation about you, but you maintain your self-respect. And I like what Sister Denise said, your self-honor. Your self-honor. Yeah. This person does not know me. I'm claiming the title that I am a special child of God. The other aspect is to hear the person's personal problem with compassion without desire to give advice or to fix them. Okay? And if you're giving a course, never ask why did you come. They will tell you the story of their problem. Okay? Huh? Or even you as a regular student, never ask, oh, you're so calm and peaceful. How did you get like that? Can you share it with me? Okay. And then they'll talk about it. Can you teach me how to do that? Okay. It starts the way like that, right? No, I have this problem. No, I have this problem. And all of us think we have all the answer. Remember, we have the answer on the basis of what is the answer for me according to my sanskara. I cannot give an answer on the basis of the sanskara and the situation of that person. Okay. So how do I deal with it? Well, take the course. If you can see that the person is actually have preference for you, give another teacher, okay? Be there and say, okay, I will. You know, because again, a lot of people are still, and also us, we don't know what are the sanskaras that we still have and haven't cleared, right? And as we all know, Baba said, there is no certainty that if you're a good yogi, okay, and that you have very high stage, that Maya will not challenge. The more powerful you become, the more the feeling I have arrived, the more Maya comes in different ways. So never be off guard. Yeah. Right? Don't be confident. And my duty is only to myself. And my duty is to bring this soul closer to Baba, to Giyan. And if I can see signs that this person is becoming dependent on me, I should watch that. Okay. Because emotional maturity only happens when I truly appreciate who I am, what I am, and I'm going to do everything within my capacity to change with only the help of Giyan, Baba, and Yoga. Not with any human being. Because they think we are psychologists. Okay? And therefore, our aim is to make them self-sufficient. So, if they have preference for you, that means they're not becoming self-sufficient. They think you are special and therefore I needed you. Right? So what is a person who's self-sufficient? You are comfortable, whether alone, or whether you feel you don't have any help. Whether people refused help for you, whether you are by yourself, it's okay. Is that how we feel? Because an immature person would say, oh, Sister Becky, I was looking for you, and I don't understand what's happening to me. And because I am validated, what happens? I thought I could help, and I'm losing my own independence. Because a mature person is always, the aspect is, I don't even receive praise. You know, Baba said? Don't receive praise, or else the one who prays you will give you trouble at the same time. Right? You do not worry about what will happen to you, but you have the faith in yourself and the positive outcome of situation. You don't get scared. You don't fear anything. An emotionally immature person has a lot of fear. And if you're talking to one who's coming to the center, or even a BK, who has a lot of fear, and for you it's just, how come this person has so much fear? That is a sign of emotional immaturity, very deep emotionally immature person. And you should never even attempt to help. Attempt to be there, present, encourage, but then sometimes fear, sometimes those fear needed special psychological attention. Brahma, you know, our method are for those who are entering as normal. Extreme fear is a sign of psychological disorder. Okay. And it is within our measure of emotional maturity to understand that this person has need a special attention, not me. Don't take it upon yourself. Even Gyan might come later. This person needed something. What is ego in a sense? As you said, because I see someone and I felt, well, I am lesser than this person, right? Or I'm better than this person. I should do it better than this person. I can do it better than this person. So the ability to be able to go beyond comparison, whether positively or negatively I compare myself, is actually a sign of emotional maturity. Yeah. And to be able to say, well, I can learn from this person. He's quite effective in doing this. Okay. I am not able to do that. And an emotional person is, because the conscience is clear, and because our guide, our standard for decision is actually our conscience based on Jnana and what Baba is actually telling us. They have the ability to actually face problem, no matter how difficult it is. Okay. And they will find to use what they have gained from Baba and work with Baba, not with any human being. The ability to go into that. This is really a very high standard, the aspect that I am relying on what I have, what resources I have within, what karmic accumulation, what accumulation of positive karma I have done that could help me face this problem. And if ever I have to go to seniors, not to another person. Okay. And an emotionally mature person never create any fear in anyone. Okay. I heard someone said, I haven't learned before, I cannot say no to someone. Okay. I think all of us, particularly those who are grew up in a culture like in the Eastern culture, no? Philippines, you know, you always have to say yes and yes and yes. Even though you don't want to do it, keep on saying yes and yes and yes. Because it's actually a fear, right? Of disapproval. It's a fear of what they will say, society will say, all of these things. And Baba keeps on saying, no. You have to know the basis of a yes and a no. And, you know, you don't have to be arrogant about it, but you can, as you said, you can explain. But again, to watch where the courage to stand in, that's another sign of a person who is actually mature, is the ability to explain exactly what you want, okay, and you don't keep explaining because you want the person to understand. The person may not understand, but let me be clear. This is what I want, and be clear in my head. It is not selfish, but it is what I want, and this is because my preference is actually to be free. Yeah, and certain people, particularly those who need help, if you keep on answering yes to them, you will never be free. They will always be there. Okay. I think that's one very important aspect. So the ability to say no, to explain yourself on the basis of what you want, no further explanation. And they say, but I don't understand what you want. But this is for my sake that I'm explaining to you. No further, but without what they call it, even subtle rejection of the person, because people feel that they are rejected when you say no to them, right? And don't even feel you cannot say no. Okay. Because saying no is to protect yourself and then to protect the other person to be dependent on us sometimes. And they may not see it, but you can. Why? Because we have Gyan. I know my weakness. If I say keep on saying yes, it will actually reinforce some of my sanskaras. You understand? Okay. That emotional maturity is the ability to understand what is my weakness and what is this person pushing me to do. and what is really my strength, and I can use it. Okay. The other aspect is actually the other aspect of humility. What is a humble person? A humble person never hesitates to admit the mistake. Because we know we have, no? Accept the mistake, admit it, and truly do something about it. I can always say, I'm sorry, you know, things like that, and lip service. But really, it's the attention. And therefore, with this person, I have to understand why, how to deal with this person, especially if you're living in the center, and how to deal with this person accurately, according to what Baba wants. I think that's very important. Determination is in the aspect that the priority in knowledge is actually my liberation and liberation in life. Christians will always be missionaries trying to help people, and I'm a very Christian because I came from Philippines, and we are 85% Catholic, Christian Catholic. And there's a slogan, you live for others. That means you sacrifice everything for others, which is actually not valid in the Brahma Kumaris. Huh? You first. That means to say my own self-service leads to better service of others. So never sacrifice the aspect, the determination that I need rest. I need yoga. I know when I can only give you this much time. You have to do things for yourself from this onwards. That is real help. And you're helping the other people mature. So the ability to see and diagnose, you know, the ability to see when signs of immature people and not to be subjected and be a victim of them. Because in that way, if you become a victim of them, what is happening? You're going to take sorrow. And taking sorrow is a sign you have left your emotional maturity, right? To take less and less sorrow is actually to become more and more mature. And with no guilt. Okay, with no guilt. Because we're always going to, there are a lot of people who will say, you know, you did this to me, you know, guilt tripping, you know? They guilt trip you. Oh, you're my best friend, or you're the best teacher I have met, and you know, you disappointed me, etc., etc. And sometimes they trigger a little bit of discomfort. What I do when I hear that is actually that I just sit with Baba, and while I'm listening, I say, Baba, this is your child, and I think you have. I'm just listening. I'm using my ears to actually listen to this person, you know, because sometimes you will also be faced with people, and I think I heard that, faced with people who are going to insult you left and right, and how are you going to keep yourself? Okay. The ability to be in tune with Baba as you hear those insults is actually emotional maturity. Because people think they have a right on you, especially your relatives, your friends, your partners, your children, your bosses, and even the students we have in the center. They claim us sometimes. And the ability to be able to say, no, in my mind, you don't have a claim on me. Baba is claiming me. And I'm only allowing myself to be Baba's instrument and Baba's, you know, property, not any human being. Because in human relationship, it's very, very important that you belong to them. And if they see you are not anymore belonging to them, they'll run after you. And that is what our training is, detachment, right? So to gently be able to go beyond those that holds us, society, culture, our family, especially those who are in the East family systems in our country, you know, you don't disobey, but you have to know there's a clear cut. I can't do this. I can't compromise my principle or my conscience. I can't compromise my own, my own standard. One of the things also about emotional maturity is when a person insults you, can you bounce back and be kind right away? That means you are not taking anything, and therefore after 5 minutes of an argument, can you come back and invite the person to eat with you or spend time with them? That's quick bouncing. Because you haven't taken any insult. You haven't taken anything. To be able to shift the situation in a way, the person is giving you all the comments and insult, and really, it's not your smile, but it's your next reaction is, how am I going, what will I do so that this person does not feel that I have taken any, I have listened, but I haven't taken any sorrow, I don't have any grudge, I don't have any bad feeling about this person. That is quite difficult, right? Right? To say, okay, after insulting me, would you like to eat dinner? Okay with me? Or to have low voice and say, thank you for that feedback. I'll try to do better. And if you notice I'm not changing, I invite you to actually just remind me about it. Okay. To shift from high emotional involvement into a subtle, more subdued, positive interaction is actually the fastest you can do it, is a sign of emotional maturity. Because I haven't taken sorrow. That's the principle. I haven't taken sorrow. So I have just accepted what you have said. I still consider you as a friend or as a soul. Those are practical things about emotional maturity. But one of the things that I'd recommend, and I think it's really understanding, you know, advice is how do we develop quicker, and Baba keeps talking about, and last night I think Sister Denise was saying, the rapid effort making, instant effort making, is the ability to actually use gyan. To be able to address, and this is very important, to be able to address and understand what is happening in that situation. Because remember what Baba said, when you remember the knowledge, you remember the teacher, right? And she was saying that meditation is not sitting down quietly, it's the ability to apply, you know, to apply every aspect of knowledge in what situation that I could really discern what is happening in front of me right now. And what is it that is being triggered inside me? What is it that this person, you know, what is this person drama with me at this point in time? Because every interaction is a possibility of triggering some of your weaknesses. And as soon as I take hurt, your decision-making power is actually blurred. And to even say, I'm sorry, but I am not ready to talk to you about it right now. Let's come to terms later. Because maybe you'll make more mistake if you try to deal with it at that point in time. You understand? And it takes a lot of the aspect that every soul that comes to me is actually a potential trigger to some of my sanskara. Okay. Because I still have a sanskara I have to be freed from. And to be able to use knowledge to be able to discern that. Because what is being with Baba constantly? It's using knowledge constantly in the way I deal with my everything in my life. Some people say Baba becomes our constant companion only when we use knowledge, when we churn and then sit in meditation so that I could experience my teacher. I could actually hold on to what Baba is giving me. I think we can end that. Okay. So we are all good people. Sometimes our own goodness puts us in a very tricky situation. You must know and discern when I could help, when I can't help. I should always help myself because my own positivity may be manipulated against me and I create dependencies, you know, I create people to be dependent on me emotionally, and that will be a very big karmic account. It's very difficult to actually get it. And to be able to, again, as I said, the big sign of, two big sign of people who are immature is they take too much sorrow, and also they always feel they're not good enough. And therefore they will always want compliment from you, you know, help from you, so that their self-respect, you know, becomes better. But our self-respect is by using Yan, the titles that Baba gives, the five forms, as Sister Denise was saying, and the ability to be able to follow Shermat and to constantly churn knowledge and enjoy Baba in all aspects. And for me, I like knowledge. I don't sit too long in meditation. But to be able to actually look at my own situation in terms of what is knowledge telling me. And I think it helps us to understand ourselves and to have better yoga when we do understand. So maybe we can have 5 minutes of good yoga. Okay. And check in front of Baba. Baba, what else do I have to do so that my maturity increases? What are the things that I have, what points of knowledge do I need to understand? And I think that's what we can do. So as we sit here, let's ask ourselves, how would I rate myself in terms of my emotional maturity? Particularly on the aspect of feeling and staying on my self-respect. Have I resolved my feeling of not being good enough? And how have I passed in the subject of not taking sorrow? And as I sit here, let me just talk to Baba from the depth of my heart.